that the religion of Islam belongs to a city community, or it belongs to all human beings. That's one question. And the other question is the religion of Islam in favor of the Arab, the white, and the non-black? Shukran.
The brother has asked several questions, alhamdulillah. We had a person coming up late on asking several questions, alhamdulillah. If I've missed out any, you're most welcome to remind me, because I believe there are 3-4 questions in the few sentences we spoke just now. The brother asked, is Islam only for the Arabs or for the full world? Was it meant for the Arabs to deliver to the other people? And that when the Christians stop him on the way and say, this is the religion of truth, how can we convince them? And he has not seen any black person or a white person offering salah. These are the two questions we posed. Regarding the first question, that is Islam only meant for the Muslims or the Arabs? The answer is given in the Holy Quran, brother, that all the previous messengers that came before Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and all the messages that came before Quran, they were time bound and space bound. They were only meant for their people and for a particular time. If you read the Holy Quran message in Surah Al-Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 49, that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, was sent as a messenger to the Bani Israel, to the children of Israel. It mentions very tough, chapter number 61, verse number 6, that they have appointed Jesus, peace be upon him, as a messenger for Bani Israel. So Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, was only sent for the Jews. If you read the Bible says the same. If you read the Bible in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 10, verse number 5 to 6, it says, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, told his disciples, that go ye not into the way of the Gentiles, and enter the city of Samaritans, you shall not, but rather go to the lordship of Christ. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 15, verse number 24, that I have not sent thee but to the lost sheep of Israel. That means Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, was only sent for the Israelites, for the Bani Israel, for the Jews. Similarly, all the previous messengers were sent only for their people, and the messenger and the message was time bound. But if you read the Holy Quran mentions Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter number 21. Verse number 107. It says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have sent thee not but as a mercy to the whole of mankind, to all the creatures, to all the world. Muhammad, peace be upon him, was not sent for the Arabs only, or for the Muslims only, but as رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, as a mercy to all the world. Again, if you read in the Holy Quran, in Surah Sabah, chapter number 34, verse number 28, it says that we have sent thee as a universal message, as a universal messenger, for as a guide to the people who don't understand. A beloved prophet was sent for the whole humankind, and the Holy Quran was not sent only for the Arabs or the Muslims. The Holy Quran was sent for the whole of humankind. If you read the Quran mentioned in Surah Al-Ibrahim, chapter number 14, verse number 52, that here is a message for the whole humankind. Let them take heed thereof, and let them know there is only one God, and let the men of understanding take advantage of it. Again, the Quran says Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 185, that Ramadan was the month in which the Quran was revealed as a criteria to judge right from wrong to the whole of humankind. Quran says Surah Al-Zumar, chapter number 39, verse number 41, that we have given thee the book as a criteria to know right from wrong to the whole of humankind. There are several verses in the Quran which show you that the Quran was for the whole of humankind, not only for the Arabs or the Muslims. So this last and final verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since it has to be in eternity, that message will be true and is meant for the whole of humankind. And regarding the question that are the Arabs or the Muslims superior to the other, our beloved Prophet said on the Philippine Pilgrimage that no Arab is superior to a non-Arab, neither is a non-Arab superior to an Arab.
No black is superior to white, neither is a white superior to black. And the Holy Quran testifies that in Surah Hujurat, chapter 49, verse number 13, where it says, Ya ayyuhan nasu, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. إِنَّمَا أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْكَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Which means, all humankind, they have created you from a single pair of male and female, and have divided you into nations and tribes. Not that you may despise each other, but you shall recognize each other. And the most honor in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the person who has taqwa, who has righteousness, who has God consciousness. The only criteria for judgment in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not caste, it's not color, it's not wealth, it's not age, it's not sex, but it's taqwa, it's righteousness, it's God consciousness. So it's very clear that the whole Quran was sent for the whole humankind. If I do agree with you that the Arabs were the chosen people on whom the Quran was revealed, so it's more of their duty to see to it that they deliver the message to those who do not know it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala previously, most of the revelations were revealed to Jews. Jews were the chosen people. But for the last and final testament, the Arabs were chosen. We have a question. That if the Christians come forward to you and say, this is the religion of truth, how do we counter? You have to tell them that Kul Hatu Muhammadun, produce your proof. Inkudu Kawdaki, but it's a truthful. So to ask for the proof, that what proof do you have that this is the religion of truth? And whatever they say, just analyze. If they say Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, is the begotten Son of God, you can very well prove that he was not the begotten Son of God. You can prove from the Bible that there is no unequivocal statement in the whole Bible where Jesus Christ himself says that he is God or is worshiping. And they try and prove that only to believe in Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, will be saved. That's to ask for proof. And if you tell them that if it is the religion of truth, it should stand the test of time. For example, previously it was the age of miracles. People did miracles to prove that they were messengers. Later on came the age of poetry. And alhamdulillah, Quran stands the test of time. Quran is the miracle of miracles. Then came the age of literature and poetry. And Muslims and non-Muslims alike, they are claiming that the Holy Quran is the best Arabic literature available on the face of the earth. Today is the age of science and technology. If you analyze the Quran in the view of science and technology, you will realize that yes, it stands the test of time. It is far more advanced than science. And I've given a talk on Quran and modern science, conflict of affiliation, and I've proved that Quran stands the test of time, that is far superior to science. There is no single verse in the Holy Quran which can be proved scientifically wrong. But if you put the same test in the Bible, there are several unscientific statements in the Bible. You can give a talk only on proving that. In Genesis itself, in the first chapter, in the first few verses, there are several unscientific points. For that, brother, you can refer to my cassette, and even the cassette is the Quran, God's word is there, and the same question was asked to me, and I've given the answer, brother. Beyond the question of Salah, let's suppose a Christian poses the question that why do all Muslims pray Salah the way you pray? So I will tell him that if you read in the Bible, it's mentioned in the book of Exodus, chapter number 3, verse number 5, that God Almighty tells Moses that do not hither, take off thy shoes, for the place I stand in is holy ground. Similar thing is mentioned in the Holy Quran, in Surah Taha, chapter number 20, verse number 11 and 12, that when Moses approached the fire, he heard a voice, Moses, take off thy shoes from that place, for you are in the sacred valley of Tuah. So this was the instruction given to Musa alayhi salam, which we follow today, we are Muslims. But you Christians, you do not follow your own Bible. Whereas to the other people, you can say that we are hygienic people. In the place of worship, we don't want any dirt coming. Therefore, we don't take our footwear into the place of worship. And since we also do the produce, we want to keep the place clean. So you can go to ablution. It's mentioned in the Holy Quran, in Surah Maidah, chapter number 5, verse number 6, that before you offer your salah, you have to wash your hands, you have to wash your face, point the hands and arms to the elbows,
rub the head with water and wash your feet. Do the ablution. The Christian, you can say that it's mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, chapter number 40, verse number 31. It says that Moses and Aaron, they washed their hands and face before they appeared before the Lord. Same thing mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter number 7, verse number 33. Again, it's mentioned in the book of Acts that Paul and the men, they washed before they appeared in front of the Lord. So Bible says that's the ablution. To the other people who don't believe in the Bible and the Quran, we say we are hygienic people. We want to be clean before we appear in front of the Lord. So coming to the point of Salah. The best part of Salah, brother, is the sujood. When we ask any psychologist, he will tell you that the mind is not directly under our control. It keeps on wandering. Therefore, when we read a Salah, our mind keeps on wandering that whether my good loving soul in my shop or not, what should I do during examination, etc. The mind keeps on wandering. The mind is not directly under our control. And the psychologists tell us that to humble the mind, you have to humble the body. No wonder we Muslims, we do the sujood in Salah. And which acrobat can do better than what we Muslims do in our Salah? And the word sujood, brother, is the most important part of the Salah. It's mentioned no less than 92 times in the Holy Quran. And you can point out to the Christian that if you read your Bible, it's mentioned in the book of Genesis, chapter number 17, verse number 3, that Abraham, he fell on his face. If you read the book of Numbers, chapter number 20, verse number 6, Moses fell on his face. If you read the book of Joshua, chapter number 5, Joshua fell upon his face and prayed to God. Even if you read the Gospel, if you read the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 26, verse number 39, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, in the Garden of Gethsemane. He took a few steps forward and fell on his face and prayed to God. I want to ask the Christian that can an acrobat do better than what the Muslims do? Sujood, even your prophet, our prophet, prayed the same way as the Muslims pray. Still, you may find some people who aren't. They are not bothered about the Bible, they are bothered about the Quran. They have to use hikmah. They have to use reason, logic and science. Today we have come to know that when we are erect throughout the day, blood does not flow sufficient enough in the brain for a very healthy brain. It does flow, but it's not sufficient for a very healthy brain. Therefore, when you produce, blood flows extra into the brain, which is very good for a healthy brain. Throughout the day, there are electrical discharges being given out. So there is a fudud to the scientists tell us that these electrical discharges, they are grounded. Not that you get a current if you put a hand, behind the cell, but because of the dominance of the frontal lobe, these electrical discharges, they are absorbed. When the fudud, there is extra blood flowing into the skin of the face. It prevents you from several diseases of the face like children. There is a sujood, the secretion of the sinuses, maxillary sinus, frontal sinus, they get drained off. That's the reason that if you do sujood regularly, you have less chances of having inflammation of the sinus, known as a disease called a sinusitis. If you do sujood, there's drainage of the bronchial tree. You can use several medical reasons, we can go talk on this. The drainage of bronchial disease, you have less chances of having lung disease or bronchitis. Where the sujood, the abdominal vitra, they press against the diaphragm. The diaphragm presses against the lower part of the lung. Because normally when you breathe, only 2/3 of the capacity of the lung is exhaled out. 1/3 is left to the air. But when you breathe in your sujood, due to the dominance of the abdominal vitra on the diaphragm, and the pressure on the lower part of the lobe, even this residual air is exhaled out. So you have more fresh air coming in, and you have less chance of having disease of the lungs. There are several benefits. In sujood, you have more venous return of the abdominal vitra. You have less chance of having hernia. You have less chance of having hemorrhoids. You keep on doing sujood ruku, etc., and qiyam, the calf muscle is activated. The calf muscle is referred to as the peripheral heart. It supplies blood supply to the lower part. You can give several medical benefits. I've given a talk Salah, the program is of righteousness. And I've described it in detail while the Muslims pray the way you pray. But anyway, we Muslims don't pray for these benefits. These are side dishes, you know, side dishes, which may attract the non-Muslims. We pray, we offer salah, because we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to praise Him, to thank Him. These medical benefits are side dishes. The main biryani is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These side dishes may attract the unbelievers to come towards Islam. Hope that's the question then.
Assalamu alaikum. I don't have a question, but I do have a compliment to doctor. And I'd like to make dua for Shazidah, for whatever the outcome may be, and I'll be pleased with him. And doctor comes from a country where which is much older than our country. And I wonder if doctor will drop the syllabus for our children. Because in the new era of the needs of Africa, we see that there's different tactics that the non-Muslims use to get our children away from Islam, inshallah. Inshallah.
Brother, I made a suggestion, and I thank him for his dua that made for Sheikh Ahmed Didat. And I made a comment, and I do agree with him, that in this country, in the new era of New South Africa, there are different ways in which people are trying to influence our children. Maybe he wanted a reply or a response that how should we make our children to see the truth and keep them within the fold of Islam and the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Brother, after a month or so, inshallah, we'll be inaugurating the children's wing of Islamic Foundation. We have the gents' wing, also the ladies' wing, but we felt the need for a children's wing. And what you said is perfectly right, brother. That we have to keep our children on the track right from the beginning, not after they grow up, we have to tell them about Islam. And inshallah, within a couple of months, we'll be starting the children's wing. And what I advise the parents is, and which is available on the video cassette, if you can see my video cassette, that we should know how to keep the children on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. We have to use the modern technology, not that go away from it. For example, a child likes to play games. You can't say, okay, don't play games, only learn about Islam. What they have to do is they will stick to it, that let him play those games that will take him closer towards Islam. For example, we all of us know about the Monopoly game. You know Monopoly? They have money, pounds and dollars, and they teach the child how to be a businessman, buying and selling of land. Similarly, they have in India the game trade, where they have rupees and they buy different land, Muhammad Ali Road, etc., you know, modern road. There's an Islamic version of that game taken out in the States and UK, which is called Accept to Paradise. Instead of the start, there is Bismillah. And how in Monopoly, when you come on chance for community, you pick up a card and have to read what's in the card. In this game, when you come on the start, you pick up a card. And that's mentioned that if you go for dance party, you have to pay a fine of 2,000 sawab. Yeah, instead of rupees or dollars or pounds, they have sawab. They have notes. It's a sawab. 500 sawab, 1,000 sawab, 2,000 sawab, 10,000 sawab. So when you come on a star and you pick up the card, it mentions that if you go for dance party, you have to pay a fine of 2,000 sawab. If you pick up the next card, it mentions that if you offer salah 5 times a day, you get a reward of 3,000 sawab. If you're obedient to your parents, you get a reward of so many thousand sawab. If you have alcohol, you have to pay a fine of 5,000 sawab. So now why this child is playing the game, and every child likes to win the game? And since the friends know very well whether he goes to dance party or not, if he's going to one, he stops going. Why? Because he wants to win the game. So besides playing the game, he is getting educated. And he knows that if I follow the rules, I will lose my life. All of us know about the snakes and ladders. Snakes and ladders. There's an Islamic version of that, which I prefer calling a slope and ladder. When you throw the dice, again Bismillah, you start, you throw the dice, when you come at the bottom of the ladder, it's mentioned that you have kept fast throughout the month of Ramadan, you go up a ladder. It's mentioned that fasting it teaches you self-restraint. When you go a few blocks ahead, you are disobedient to your parents, you come down and go. Allah does not like it. There's a few blocks ahead, you have been reading Quran daily, you go up ahead. You get guidance. Take a few blocks ahead, you have told a lie, you come down and go. So when the child is playing the game, besides getting entertained, he is learning about the dinner hat, about the religion of Islam. Similarly, we have Islamic cards, we have Islamic gifts of others. Instead of Taj Mahal, we have the Harmain Sharif, the Makkah, Madinah, Masjid al-Nabawi. The child, when he makes the gifts of others, every nook and corner of that Harmain Sharif is part of his memory. So Islamic games. We have got games on the computer for the children. We have got the Islamic scholar, which quiz for the children. So we have to know how to teach the child from the beginning. We have got nursery rhymes. Instead of A for Apple, B for ball, there's A for Allah, B for Bismillah. So there is nursery rhymes. Instead of Jack and Jill went up the hill, we have what is Iman. Various nursery rhymes. We have got video cassettes to show the children how to offer salah, how to do wudu, how to recite the Quran, etc. What they have to do is they have to entertain the child. They have to know what the child wants, so that you can stick to it, that it remains in Sirat al-Mustaqim from the beginning. And whenever anyone poses any question against Islam, you stick to it, that you equip your child with the answer. These are a few ways for more complete answers and different messages of the brother.
Shalakallah.
Earlier on you spoke about the Trinity, and it is wrong to believe in the Trinity. So I'd like to convince someone that believing in the Trinity is wrong, and that there is only one Allah.
So there are the questions, that how can we convince to a Christian, to a non-Muslim, that believing in Trinity is wrong? And believe me, if you analyze the full Bible, the Trinity is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. In fact, if you open the Holy Quran, the Quran, the word Trinity is there in the Quran, in no less than two different places. And even if you read in Quran, Nisa chapter 4, verse 171, it says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَا. Don't say Trinity. إِنْتَوْ خَيْرُ لَكُمْ. Just as proper, it's better for you. For your Lord and our Lord is one Lord. So the Trinity is there in the Quran, saying don't say, but it's not there in the Bible. The word of the Holy Bible, which resembles Trinity the closest, is the first epistle of John, chapter 5, verse number 7, it says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. This is the closest to the Trinity. And believe me, if you read, this was a quotation from the King James version of the Bible, if you read the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, revised by whom? Revised by 32 scholars of the highest eminence, backed by 50 different Christian denominations. In the Revised Edition of the Bible, this word from 1st Epistle of John, chapter number 5, verse number 7, has been thrown out as a fabrication, as an interpolation, as a concoction. It's no longer there in the Revised Standard Version, because the Revised Standard Version of the Bible dates back more closer to the source, approximately 200 years after the going away of this testing, the qualification. The closer to the source, the more authentic it is. But when you ask these Christians that what is the meaning of Trinity, they say that Trinity is that Father is a person, the Son is a person, the Holy Ghost is a person. But these three persons, they are not three, they are one. And then we ask them to explain that what would they mean that Father is a person, the Son is a person, and the Holy Ghost is a person, but they aren't three, but they are one. They say it's a mystery. No Christian born can explain the concept of Trinity logically. So what's the meaning of a person? A person means he has a certain personality. The Father has a different personality, the Son has a different personality, the Holy Ghost has a different personality. And they say these three are one. So when you ask the question, let's suppose that three triplets who look identical. If one of the triplets commits murder, can we hang the other? They say no. They say why? Because he's a different person. And believe me, no Christian can prove. But the gist of the argument, let's see, first you have the ice melts in the water, and the water becomes vapor. They are three, but they are one. They fail to realize that science tells us today that when the ice melts water, that ice no longer remains ice, it becomes water. And the water, when you heat, when it becomes vapor, that same water converts to vapor. It no longer remains as water. It becomes vapor. It's the same thing, only changing state. So do you mean to say, when the Father becomes Son, Father is not there? When the Son becomes the Holy Ghost is not there? Because it is in the Bible that Jesus said, peace be upon you, was there when the Holy Ghost was there. And he prayed to the Father, all things were present. So whatever reason that they gave for Trinity, you can logically prove it wrong. Because these three aren't one. What? You have to say, because the Bible clearly mentions, if you read the Bible, Moses speaks upon himself in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse number 4. He says, Shema Israelo, Allah ilahainu Allah ilahad, that you are O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, repeated the same message in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 12. He said, when you are asked, which is first of the commandments? He said, the first of the commandments is, Shema Israelo, Allah ilahainu Allah ilahad, that you are O Israel, our Lord, our God is one Lord. How done, Krishna?